Recording is on.
Okay, great. Welcome to the June 29th, 2021 Credentials Community Group meeting. Today, our agenda, we have two items on the agenda. We are going to hear from Victor Sins, who has been very active in the CCG 101 group, putting together a survey and sending it out to the community, and he's going to share some of the results, and we're going to have a discussion about that. And then, in the last week, Mike Prorock has self-nominated for the open CCG co-chair role. So we will have time for Mike to make a statement, share some comments about himself, and also for the community to ask him any questions. That's our agenda for today. And here is the agenda. Great. First things up, IP note. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR accounts, a full IPR agreement signed. It's free to join the Credentials Community Group, but you do need to have a W3 account in order to sign the IPR agreement. Victor and I were just looking at it this morning, and it looks like we have 437 members in this group. So definitely one of the largest ones in the W3C. Okay, call notes. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at the CCG GitHub Minutes meeting link. And you can see it right here. Put a link in the chat. We use IRC to cue speakers during the call, as well as take minutes. You can join the IRC you can join the chat in the IRC, or you can just go ahead and make your comments in the Jitsi chat. You can, as an attendee, you can type present plus to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript, although Manu has made some changes that automatically add you to Q+. In IRC, type Q+ to get yourself on the queue with an optional reminder. For example, to type Q+ for a question about the survey. The plus is the plus sign. If you're not on IRC, if you're on audio only, go ahead and just pipe up and ask to be put on the queue, and the chairs will go ahead and add you to the queue. Please be brief so the rest of the queue can get a chance to chime in. You can always Q+ again. This meeting is held by voice, not IRC, so off-topic IRC comments are subject to deletion from the record. Okay, scribe selection, everyone's favorite time. Do we have any volunteers to scribe today? Hey everyone, sorry about that. I accidentally closed the wrong tab. Are we back? Am I back? Thumbs
yes.
up?
Okay, great. Back.
The problems of having too many tabs open. Great, sorry. Give me a minute to get the agenda back. Okay, sorry, I meant to put in the scribe. Scribes. Okay. Did anyone volunteer to be a scribe while I accidentally deleted myself from the meeting? No, probably not. Okay. All right. Okay. So scribes. Regular scribes. Kim, you're on the list. Are you here? Do you want to scribe? Is this old? Have you scribed before? Oh, wait. Maybe Kim's not here. I see KM. That's Christina, not Kim. Sorry. Okay. No, Kim. Adrian, you're the next up. Are you willing to scribe today?
Sure.
Great. Awesome. Thank you, Adrian. Move you to the end. Great. Okay. So next up. Okay. Introductions and reintroductions. Is there anyone new to the call who would like to introduce themselves? Blazki, you're up.
Hi, guys. I'm actually not the new one. I have been on the past already in the calls, but for 1 year. I'm a researcher at Graz University of Technology. We recently get one H2020 European project, and we are looking for possibilities working on the digital wallet things, since this is a quite hot topic in the Europe right now. And I actually take this opportunity to try to be updated with stuff which you're working on. So yeah, thank you.
Thanks. What's your name?
Yes, scribe interrupt. Where are you at the institution, please?
Graz University of Technology, Austria, actually.
Okay, thanks.
Blas, anyway.
Thanks, Blas.
Thank
for
you.
For the introduction. Anyone else new on the call that would like to introduce themselves? Christina, I see.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi, this is Christina Moskinar's daughter. I work at the Office of Educational Technology at the U.S. Department of Education, and I manage a portfolio of projects, including one looking at digital wallets and another looking at applications of education blockchains.
Great, welcome. I don't see anyone else new on here. Let's go on to reintroductions. I think if you're up for it and you're here today, Erica, would you like to do a reintroduction? I think I tried to ask you last week, but there was audio issues, but might
yes,
be audio
issues. Can you hear me
yes.
this morning?
Yes, we can. Great.
I left my headset out last week and it didn't charge, so that was sad making. I'm Erica Connell. I'm a theater and film artist, and have been hanging around this space for a couple of years now, learning about all the awesome things that the W3C does. Currently, I am producing a podcast where we discuss DIDs and DID methods with DID method creators, and as that we get more, you know, our beginning episodes out, we will post more information and details about that, but I'm excited to be in this space and learning things and learning how to participate more. So thank you.
Great, Erica. I'm really excited to have your perspective in the community, and your podcast sounds really interesting. So definitely keep us posted when you release that, and maybe we can have you come back and share some of your broader thoughts, the things you've learned after you've recorded or released a few episodes. Okay, great. Next up is announcements and reminders. We don't have anything on the announcements list, but I know Kalia had a couple announcements regarding some specific IIW things. Does anyone else have any announcements or reminders? If so, add yourself to the queue. Manu, you're up.
Just a quick update on the DID specification. As many of you know, it's going through its second candidate recommendation phase. We hope this is the last one. It looks like we've got enough implementations to proceed now. There's some details that we're going to be trying to figure out at 6 p.m. today, but just keeping everyone updated, there's basically 4 weeks in the second candidate recommendation phase. We, I think, end mid-July, so we're halfway through it. And so things are looking good. That's it. We're hoping to have a global standard in probably the next couple of months.
Thanks, Manu. Phil, you're up next.
Thank you. Just a quick note. A little over a week ago, the T3 Innovation Network, which is launching a series of what they refer to as Network of Networks projects, ratified the charter for the Learning and Employment Record Network, which is essentially an umbrella organization to pull together the use of verified credentials and similar assertions of achievements and skills and abilities for the purposes of holders to be able to present themselves to third parties of their choice. And that NOAA is ratified, and there will be an announcement shortly of the kickoff of that in July, and I'll share that when I can. Thanks.
Thanks, Phil. No one else is on the queue right now. I'll just give it a beat to see if anyone else wants to add themselves and either has an announcement or a reminder for the community. Okay, we can move on. So next up on the agenda is update on action items. Actually, I don't really have an update. There's really no issues going on, and we really only have a few items that we're tracking that really doesn't make sense to check in on. I guess we could just check in on this item 194. I'm just looking at it to recap. I guess we'll check into 194, which was the proposed work item for the EIP 712 signature 2021. Looking at this thread, it looks like it's 11 days ago whenever we discussed it. 2 weeks ago, we decided to move forward with this work item. So it's just a matter of setting up the repo and setting up all the proper CCG infrastructure, bureaucratic stuff, so that work item can get started. So we're just waiting on setting up the work item. Okay, that's all I've got for the boilerplate stuff. On to the agenda. Today we're going to hear from Victor Sintz. Victor, I hope I said your last name correctly. Victor has been very active in the CCG 101 meetings from the beginning, and he very early on took the initiative to put together a survey for the broader community so we could have a better understanding of the type of materials and other things that the 101 group might want to develop, and to also help us understand, you know, how to best execute our limited resources and our volunteer community. So today he's going to go over some of the results from the survey, and we'll have a discussion. Victor, we've got 45 minutes for the rest of the meeting. Can we time box you to 20, 25 minutes, including discussion?
I think it should be good for me.
Great. Okay. Over to you, Victor.
All right. Hello, everyone. So I will do a small introduction right now. So I've started in the CCG actively right several months ago. I'm quite active in trust of IP and governance side of the project. And so my main interest comes from the fact that it is the future. And the more I know it and the more I help to develop it in the reasonable way and the best way possible, the better will be, I hope, to everybody. And so and the idea behind the questionnaire was, there are several of them. So first of all, to understand how many really people to some extent are paying attention, are contributing to overall progress among the overall membership. And then, trying to understand what these active members see as an important, development and see as an important contribution from, promotion part of the things, I can say so. And so that was the idea behind the questionnaire. So we in CCG 101 created it, sent it. It was very interesting that by sending Google Forms, we have three times as little responses as we had just by emailing the form directly to people. So that says a lot how it is to send emails directly to people and not to expect Google to make it for you. And so in overall, and for very good procedures, we have only 10% of members responded on the questionnaire. It still gave us quite a good amount of information and quite a good amount of responses. And I would like to go through them. I've created a small presentation. I will be sharing some pieces of that, of it. So I would like to check if everybody can see my screen. Excuse me. That's right. Can everybody see that?
Yes.
Give me one more second. I'm going to do like this. That's right. Okay. So, as I mentioned, the idea was to find out who are we, what are we, most of us are doing, and how we think all together we can move the development of the projects and other things forward. So as you see, the majority of respondents joined in the last 3 years, which says that in reality, the community is moving forward and increasing participation. And among these participants, majority of them, active participants, are, let's call them to some extent, young participants, right? More new participants. And I think that says a good... It's a positive sign in reality because it helps you understand that who are actively participating in the community, they're new, so they're trying to move the community forward, whatever does it will mean for the community, whether it's creating standards or whether it's development of, let's say, in our case, CCG 101 is creating some content to promote organization and activities and so on and so forth. So I find this graph is quite positive. The other important thing is that among those who answered, majority of them are tech professionals. And among these tech professionals, third of them at least, are in executive positions. And I think that's important to to remember. Why? Because when we talk about development of itself, most of the, let's say, development is how you can divide it into several parts. One of them is to, let's say, think about where to move, right, and what to develop. And the second is, it's sometimes called in other fields, legwork. It's literally working on the stuff, right, coding, let's say, to some extent. And I think one of the things that we can see here is that in reality, majority of the active participants, they're not, it is my understanding that I have to clarify, they're not so much developers themselves, but they're executives who creates things, who thinks about what is need to be developed. And there will be, and I want to show you straight one more graph, is that if we will see what goals we want to achieve, so the first, the most popular answer, like three times, is that it is active participation in development. So I think it tells us that it's much more important to find people who will be doing the legwork or developing the stand, developing something, coding something, then probably to find people who will be thinking of what to develop. But again, this is just what came to my mind when I was thinking about the results of the questionnaire. Now, and the other way, reason why I think this way, if we go to the other slide, it's a little bit confusing because the colors are upside down, but you can see that half of the people who answered on their questionnaire both responded and initiated an email. So again, it means that people who actively participating in the community, from my perspective, not only know what they're talking about, but they also have quite good idea where they want to move the development. And again, that probably contributes to the fact that they need to think more about where to move and probably have a good idea how to move, then literally do that movement, right? Do this coding and do all of that stuff. So, but this is my perspective. I'm not sure if I'm correct or wrong, and I would be happy to hear others speaking on that topic. All right. So if we go further, and the next slide that I wanted to show you is the slides of what groups. So if we will look on that slide and the one that it was the previous one where we talked about Acton development, so we do see that there is a need on active participation of the government officials and at the same time other professionals too. So from the perspective of the person who actively participates in Trust of IP and the government's work, I have to admit that it is, from my perspective, quite challenging task to attract government officials. And the reason behind, from my perspective, is that due to the specifics of each country, each government official will have its own, let's say, stopping factors, if I can say that, though, meaning that there will be some restrictions on them, on participation, or probably on sharing information, or probably on using information that they know. And I think that might stay on the way of that because it's, you know, unfortunately, currently, we all know that nobody trusts no one. And if we talk about governments, I think it will be even a higher degree of mistrust from between governments of different countries. And I think that partly might be the reason why we don't have such a participation and why it's so hard to attract government officials into the work. Now, next step, how we can do that, and that is we ask the question, what type of content we would like to our respondents would like to have, and we have very clear, I would say, answer that majority would like to have, whether it's medium, short or medium length videos, or short or medium length blog posts. In both cases, it will be approximately like 700 words, 5 to 15 minutes videos, and the most important question would be afterwards when we talk about it, it is to whom we want to show these videos and therefore how these videos needs to be structured or designed and so on and so forth. All right. And to finish that, my small part of presentation, I would like to go through. I want to thank Mike Prorok for giving me an opportunity to use Bird Clouds. I've never seen anything like that. It looks pretty interesting. So if we look about on the last three images, it's the most popular, let's say, words, I would say, in our answers, right? And then in this case, if we see what specific technologies people are focused on, I would say that VC is most popular because it's just in general, right? It's the general topic of the community. And the same goes with the IDs. It's interesting that the government was quite popular as a use case. So therefore, there is a need for us to attract government officials. everything else is pretty similar. Then if we talk about what is mainly discussed, again, it's verified credentials or VCs. So they were mentioned both in the short version, VC or like in two words. DADs. Again, it's reasonable. Plus, the wallet was very popular. And if we talk about what use cases you are interested, that's shows a little bit different picture, because we can see that JSON-LD is very popular. API use cases are quite popular, and so on and so forth. To finish all of that, what I would like to highlight also, because it's not shown anywhere here, because it is hard to put it into numbers or into the graph. In reality, one of the most popular, and I will show my first, one of the most popular use case was verified credentials in education. And the next popular would be verified credentials HTTP API. These two use cases were mentioned in half of all answers. So these are the most popular use cases, or most popular and most discussed things currently. And the last thing to finish is we ask question about general public, and the answers were all over the place, because again, it's general public doesn't really know about us and it's not really interested. And while discussing why, excuse me, we thought that there are probably two reasons. There is nothing that is harming the general public, and nothing so much what is beneficial for general public from the perspective of verified credentials, right? So general public, let's say average person, doesn't really know how he or she can benefit from the usage of verified credentials. Neither it is concerned with any harm if he or she doesn't know about them. So in that case, why would you spend time? And the other thing about general public I lacked very much, Heather's question is that, do we really need general public to know about it? And if we do, what it will bring to the community in general. So this is small overview of our response that we got. We'll be happy to answer question if there are some. I cannot see, excuse me. Yes.
Great. Okay. Thank you so much, Victor. This was really fantastic. Great overview. And we have Manu on the queue. Manu, over to you.
Yeah. I just wanted to really echo Heather's comments and really appreciate you, Victor, for doing this work. It's great. So, I mean, we have data about, what a decent chunk of the community thinks, right? I mean, I think it's statistically significant data. It also helps it helps us figure out where we should be focusing and what the general, thoughts in the community are. Aligns with some gut feelings, at least I was personally having about the direction we're going. So, it looks like we're headed in a fairly good direction. So this is, it's just all really fantastic. So thank you, a ton, Victor, for putting this all together. I'm wondering if we could get these general findings just out as a mailing to the community. As Heather mentioned, there are 430 plus of us now, and not everyone can show up to the call. So sending the general findings out and sending the slide deck out to the mailing list, I think would be really good. Like literally just a copy and paste of this slide you're showing right now. Maybe translating these into action items that the community should follow up on, not necessarily volunteering anyone to do it yet. But letting people know, these things need to be done, as next steps, and then maybe use that as an opportunity for, folks, maybe Heather in the CCG 101 group to take up as a first item, or maybe, people in the community to know that, these are things that we need to do, and reminding them, on calls. Anyway, just general ideas, and, again, thank you, Victor. This is fantastic stuff.
Yeah. So I have a smaller, I wanted to add it. It was interesting that among people who answered, we have quite a number of people who are ready to help with producing content meaning presentations and videos. So in reality, I think as soon as we have a quite good idea of what we wanted to be inside the content, we're going to have people who can organize this the content around it. So that's a very positive thing. I didn't put it here again because it's hard to put it in the like digestible visual format.
Great, Victor. I saw you added yourself to the queue. Did you cover everything you wanted, or is there more you wanted to say?
No, that was what I wanted to say.
Okay, great. So we've got Sal next up on the queue. Over to you.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thanks. I had a question about slide 3. I think it was about the membership years. And it looked interesting that there's a small number for 1 to 2, but there's a bigger number for 0 to 1 and 2 to 3. I was wondering if you had any ideas on why that might be.
I think it's when people joined. It's not how, it's just probably my supposition is because of the launching of standards, you know? Some kind of, there was a standard launched 2-3 years ago. And then the next one happens right now because of the COVID.
Okay, thank you.
I also added myself to the queue to just kind of, you know, try to make some guesses about this. I also found it very interesting that, like, we've had a large group of folks join in the last year. And that's one of the things I've noticed as I've continuously updated our various, like, CCG decks, whether it's the intro to CCG for the 101 or the TPAC one. We have been growing a lot as a community, you know, a lot within the last year. The year prior to that, it looks like only one person responded that had joined during that time, but that doesn't necessarily say, I don't know that we can draw any conclusions from that. We can only draw conclusions that when they joined, that's how active, or when they took the survey. It is also really interesting that 2 to 3 years, we also had a big bump. So a big bump of people who took the survey. So, it could be really interesting to look back at what was going on during that time. Like it seems like 2 to 3 years ago is maybe when we were getting ready to actively spin out the DID working group. And, we were starting to kind of, conclude a lot of the discussion about DIDs and decentralized identifiers, going into their own working group. And then they kind of like spun out about a year or year and a half ago. So, I think it's just, those are just kind of some of my thoughts with that. The other thing I think is really interesting is that of the people that took the survey, we do have a pretty good bump of folks that have been here for 4 to 5 years. I didn't take the survey, but if I had, that's the kind of time frame that I would have been in. So it does show that there are folks that have been in the CCG for quite some time that have longevity, as well as the larger group of new people coming in. And I think that really bodes well for where we want this community to go. So we definitely have an appetite of new people that want to participate and be part of this group. And I think one of the challenges that I've seen in the past, and now I'm not speaking from the data, I'm just speaking from my experience, is that it's a challenge to walk new people down the pathway to really become knowledgeable and confident to contribute to these work items. And so also going to just use this as a promo for the 101 work is that is what the 101 group is trying to do, is trying to make that pathway for new people to become more acclimated, to understand the concepts, understand what we're working on, the problems, understand how to contribute to the work items, which is what, I think a lot of the folks that have been here for a while really want, and to really grow active participants in the community. So these numbers to me show that we do have a lot of folks that are new And we've always had a lot of folks coming into this community, but our challenge in this community is to provide a gentle path so that they can come become these, good contributors to the work items, which will make this technology more robust as it ripples out into the world. Victor, any other questions you want to ask, or are other folks wanting to make comments about this survey and the next steps? Victor, over to you. You're on the queue.
Yeah, so it's important to clarify, I am not a developer, right? So I don't have the computer science background pretty much at all. I have a good background in education. And so from my perspective, after reading all of that and after talking with, participating in various meetings, so one of the hardest thing is, and that again, following up with Heather's words, is that to get people to contribute by giving them very simple tasks to do, like, because that helps a lot, right? If the person knows how they can use their skill fast and efficiently, the person can help them fast and efficiently. And the responses that I saw, I think they speak to the necessity to attract in some way, and that's the hardest question to answer, new developers with not a lot of experience who are interested in gaining experience and but doesn't have yet enough experience to get the job. And I think somehow if we can manage to get that happening, that might help speed up the process. And in that case, again, attracting government officials can be a very good thing to do, because as a government has the power and, let's say, necessity to attract new generation of developers, that might be some way to go around it. That's my point.
Thanks. And I just wanted to, ask a question to the work item owners and co-owners. And maybe you guys can think about this, because I don't know if there's a very straightforward answer. Don't want to put you guys on the spot. What can you do to make your work item more accessible to new developers? And by new developers, I'm using that new to the community, yet experienced developers, but maybe not experienced in this particular technology, but then also to, new energetic, developers who are early on in their career. Are there tasks, are there ways you can break down some of your work item activities, or is there a way you can kind of bring in new developers or folks who want to do it in a mentoring way to help kind of give a soft landing, or to give a nice sandbox where someone new can come in without having to feel like they're going to, get burned if they don't know everything perfectly. Mike, I see you're on the queue, so over to you.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not perfect by any means, but one of the things that we've tried to do with the traceability vocab kind of from day one, and Ori's obviously been instrumental in this as well, is to make sure that the vocab README and developer documentation and all that kind of normal stuff mirrors what developers expect, right, and kind of meets them where they're at from a language standpoint. One of the big barriers to entry is that when we look at things that are SSI-related or, CCG-related broadly, these items tend to have their own language and semantics around them that are not going to be familiar to someone coming out of an enterprise development world. And so being able to kind of meet people where they're at is a good starting place. Being able to give good step-by-step of here's exactly how you pull this down and build it. And then kind of the version of the hallway test, which, if you're not familiar, it's something like I try to make use of heavily, is when you've got something forward facing to a certain type of user group, just walk out in the hallway, grab a person and say, hey, what does this look like to you? Well, at least with the Trace vocab, we've kind of done that. I fired that vocab project right when we were starting it up, and then at several points since then, over to other developers that I respect that aren't touching on these kinds of credentials or JSON LD things at all, right? And saying, hey, take a look at this GitHub project. Can you pull it down and build it? Do you mind taking 15 minutes? And if they can't do it and get it up and running and build and run the tests in 15 minutes, they're going to walk away, right? And so being able to do that and get that feedback quickly to know where your gaps are or what doesn't make sense is pretty important. So.
Great, Mike. I don't see anything else on the queue. Anyone else on the queue? I'd like to give Victor the opportunity to say any last words before our final points before we move on to the next agenda item. Victor, you want to say any conclusion points?
Yeah, it would be good for us just to get to action items eventually after that. It was a great, I like that people liked the presentation, but that, what's next? Like that would be a very good point, and it will be probably good to we're gonna talk with this about this in the G1, but it will be great for us then to come up with the next step and probably present them eventually to the big community. That's it, and thank you for your time. That's important.
Thanks, Victor. Awesome work there, and maybe we can start having some of that discussion on the list as well when you send some of these results to the list in the list description. Okay, shifting gears a little bit. So I think as you guys have known in the community, we've had an open co-chair role, open co-chair seat for several months. And last week, Mike Prorock self-nominated. And so I want to just say thank you to Mike. You've been a great member of the community. A little bit of just bureaucracy on how we are looking to run this. Since there was an open role for so long. Okay. So first of all, Mike is, submitting for the open seat that previously Kim Hamilton Duffy held. This is officially a 3-year chair term. However, the chairs have realized that the 3-year term can sometimes feel onerous. So once we get, this chair role, filled, we will probably kick off a discussion about that. So, this is an official, submission for the 3-year, chair term. We have 1 week. It was announced last Friday. We will have until, this Friday at EOD midnight Pacific Daylight Time. For any feedback to the community. If there are no additional candidates or major objections, Mike will immediately win this seat and will begin as co-chair the following day. And so today I want to give Mike an opportunity to make some comments or make a statement about his nomination and also for the community to be able to ask questions and have a discussion with him. So Mike, over to you.
Thanks, Heather. So yeah, Mike Prorock here. I figured probably just give a little intro on myself and just my background and then kind of how I came into touching on any of the CCG stuff to begin with. Just a background on myself. My career has been primarily tech, through most of my life. I've had, quite a few, before then I did a lot of traveling and working in different fields, primarily in security. But most of my career has been dealing with data in some way, shape, or form. So, search heuristics, video, exchange of information, and then especially over the last 10, 15 years, increasingly in machine learning, and applied machine learning. So that's kind of where I'm at today. I guess back in 2016, I started and still run a company called Measure.io, where we do environmental analytics, primarily oriented around agriculture, but also touching on a variety of other things. So, things like biological threat spread and invasive species spread and climate change impacts, things like that are all things that we touch on as well. And as a part of that, a lot of the data we deal with is track and trace data related to activities out in the field or things where we get like a field, like a DNA sample that needs a chain of custody around it. And that was the use case that motivated me to really start engaging with DIDs and VCs and things like that. So that's really how I got pulled in. I got intro to the community from Ori Steele back in 2018, actually. He's like, hey, take a look at the stuff we're doing. And I did, and looked at what they were doing over Transmute. And, you know, he pointed me at the CCG back then, just kind of followed along. And then over the last year or so, have been engaging a lot more. So now that we're doing much more, especially related to verifiable credentials in my day job. So, yeah, that's kind of the quick summary, I would say, on myself. And, given that the seat's been open for a while and we need CCG to run effectively for all of us and all of our sakes, because we're actually dealing with some, what I view at least as highly important topics, potentially globally, if we can do some of this stuff right. I think it merits attention. And, I was able to fortunately be in a position where I could carve, you know, dedicated a few hours, out of each week to, work directly with CCG. So. That's where I'm at, and open up the floor for any questions back to me or anything else Heather wants to get at.
Thanks, Mike. Manu, you're on the queue. Over to you.
Sure. Thanks, Heather. Yeah, so huge plus one to Mike. I mean, the contributions you've made to date, Mike, have been fantastic, and you know, you've been a really wonderful person to have added to the community. So very excited about your co-chair nomination. I'm wondering if you have any particular initiative you're wanting to push forward in CCG. Like, you know, typically, you know, when you get a chair in, they've got some kind of thing they would really like to see push forward. Do you have anything in particular that you're thinking of right now? And if so, would like to hear a bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, where I'm engaged is, you know, pretty open. We're pretty transparent at the measure side, and I tend to be pretty transparent as well. For selfish reasons, I'm obviously heavily interested in traceability of physical goods and attribution of different activities, especially things that could impact the environment, right? So when we look at things like the traceability vocab or interoperability on that regard, that's a big deal for me personally. But broader than that, I think one of the things that we've seen work really well in some cases, not quite as well as I think folks would like in others, is on that interoperability and verifiable, like testable interoperability across stuff. And we've seen some of the power of that with like the vaccination credential tests that you guys over at Digital Bazaar pulled together. I would love to help spearhead and build good working models for how do we apply that kind of testability to all projects across the board, right? Anytime that we're dealing with stuff with code, I think if we can get it, whether it has to be boilerplate or just a good spec recommendation around that stuff, that's something that I think is a good goal to work towards. The other side that I've been trying to engage with as much as possible is on that one-on-one side as well, right? So how do we bring folks into the community? How do we make it welcoming? You know, how do we communicate back out to the rest of the world and make sure that when someone says, yeah, I'm doing verifiable credentials, that they actually are? And that, you know, if we can hopefully provide guidance in an easy way to say, hey, if you say you're doing this and there's a couple of good methods of actually doing this, let's make sure you actually are and give you the ability to show that to the, you know, demonstrably to all parties involved. Does that answer your question there, Manu?
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. And plus one to both of those initiatives. They're very worthwhile.
Thanks, Mike and Manu. Anyone else have comments or questions for Mike? Or comments or ideas for how you would like to see the chairs focus our time and what we end up working on in the CCG as well? Well, here we have crickets. If I'll give another minute of awkward silence, and if no one has other comments or things we want to discuss today, we can conclude a little bit early. Manu, you added yourself to the queue. Over to you.
Yeah, I'm trying to give space for other people to talk. The one, I guess, request that I have in general is, you know, it has been, the community has grown a lot, and that is a lot of weight on the shoulders of the chairs. And my hope is that we can figure out a way to reduce the chair's workload, not increase it, right? This comment is a bit hand wavy, right? My hope is that we can reduce the effort that it takes to run the CCG. I think Mike's absolutely going to help that by, sharing the workload. I think we may be able to do a little bit more of that through just kind of like automation of like minutes publication and transcription and things of that nature. I'd be interested to hear if there are any other ideas that the community has about reducing the workload that the chairs have and making this a sustainable thing for the chairs rather than a crushing, experience for the chairs. That's it.
Yeah, thanks, Manu. So I added myself to the queue to comment on that as well. Sorry, I'm just putting myself on the queue here. And I guess I would say I think a lot of automation has already happened, and hats off to you, Manu and Kim, who have done a lot of work to make the minutes as automated as possible. As a chair who has to use all these systems, there's a double-edged sword with automation, you need to have automations, and then you have like have the recipes and the to-dos, the process that you follow. And oftentimes, I don't know, probably like at least 70% of the time when I go to do minutes, I always hold my breath when I like upload that final, those final files and the script runs, because, oftentimes there's some error that happens because there is so much automation. And so, constant updates to the scripts do break things in different ways that, for me, I would rather have it be more stable, with less features, than be less stable, not knowing I can, count on whether that script is going to break for me this time or not. So I think it's a balance. I'm not saying no automation. I just think it's a balance between having stable automation that we can trust and that we can, write the processes of. We've, done some iterations on the minutes. And I hope they're going to be at a stable place. Well, we still have some issues with the minutes because of trying to transfer the one email account from Kim to me. That's just, I guess, what I want to say is one of the things that I've tried to bring as the chairs, because I'm not a technical person and I don't want to know what those automation scripts are, is the process. And so if we have the recipes and the process, the processes that we can follow to navigate a lot of the actions and the operations that chairs have to do, it makes it easier for anyone to do those actions, whether you're a technical or partially technical or a non-technical person. So I just want to caution against automating too many things, because chairs do circulate and folks in the community do circulate. A lot of that automation updates works do end up continuing to rest on the shoulders of the folks who have originally done it, like Kim and Manu. So, that's just my comment, is balance automation with transparent processes that anyone can follow.
Plus one. Thank you. That's good, good, solid direction. Focus on stability, not new features, as a general rule.
Yeah, I mean, I know we all love new features and I do too, but we have to make it work. Okay, I don't see anyone else on the queue. It doesn't look like anyone else wants to add anything. I want to say thank you to Adrian for scribing today. Thank you to Victor for doing the survey and presenting such great results in the discussion today. I want to say thank you to Mike Prorock. I look forward to working with you more. I think you'll be a great addition to the leadership team. And with that, I would like to conclude today, June 29, 2021's Credentials Community Group meeting. Thank you, everyone, for attending.